sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
J'ai juste envie de tout foutre en l'air, peu importe l'amour qu'il y a sur terre. Au diable, le bonheur des gens, plus rien me tente face à mes feuilles blanches, face à ma feuille blanche. J'ai juste envie de tout foutre en l'air, peu importe la haine qu'il y a sur terre. Au diable, le malheur des gens, plus rien me tente face à ma feuille blanche. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka B Blizzard, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B. Before I start the show, another reminder, and I'd like to remind you returning listeners, and I guess you new listeners, that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul of the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on the unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 19, 2023 at, 4:13 p.m. Courtesy of Daylight Savings Time, it's still bright out there. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, man. Let me just start up by saying what's up with the title? I'll be honest with you, man. I'm starting this show feeling a little uninspired. Usually I start off, what gets me going is I have a title and a rap verse that I want to recite as a poem to start off the show, and I didn't have any of them, and as a result, I was just feeling a little uninspired, man. I was uninspired, even though I had a rundown sheet set up for today's episode. There's a burst of inspiration that usually hits me every episode. Is it because I haven't had maybe that's probably the reason. No, whatever. Okay, I'm not going to say alcohol is why I don't have. But it would have been apropos to take a shot of Jameson, considering that Friday was St. Patrick's Day. And it's just a tradition. And whatever, I didn't take a shot of it. I don't know, sometimes I'm feeling like the alcohol is fucking with my system, but that's another different story. But all this to say, the poem I read to you earlier in French is from the track, it's the chorus from a track by Diam, it's called La Feuille Blanche, White Page. And that whole track, it's a beautiful track by Diam, the rapper Diam from France, and a French rapper, and the whole track is just about how, this world doesn't give, how she doesn't give a fuck about the world she's living in because she's suffering from writer's block, and how nothing matters. As long as I have this writer's block, nothing in this world matters. Fuck a relationship, fuck Fuck life, fuck everything, man. As long as I don't have, as long as I'm suffering from this writer's block, as long as I don't have anything on this paper, nothing to write on this paper, the world could go fuck itself. And in a way, I was kind of feeling that way. Excuse me, but here we are. Here we are. The show must go on. That's what I'm telling myself. And I, this is like the unofficial intro. I'm gonna jump to the actual intro. Like usually every episode has like three parts, an intro, news and random thoughts, and personal thought, final thoughts, whatever. And this is like, I just felt the need to start off confessing with, I'm hoping to create a miracle. By the end of this episode, I'll have figured out, I'll be feeling better than I feel right now. So let's do this. Let's get through this. This is the intro that I had prepared for you. It's a little somber, but whatever. This is the intro, right? Start timer now. Ooh. Oh, my nose. Sorry. Something in this room, my office, I have a home office where I record, and I swear, man, my breathing sucks in here. All right. Intro. Point of the intro is just like, I don't know, like foreplay, I guess. You know what I mean? I don't want to, like, you know, just treat my audience like a microwave, you know, just like I want to ease you into the show. yeah, I guess, what? You're fucking your audience. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, that was a bad analogy, but fuck it, man. It's my podcast. I'm grateful for you listeners and the freedom you allow me to have on my own podcast. Okay. All right. Let's start. This week, shit that's happened this week. Yeah, I'm going to start with some RIPs, birthdays, and then album celebrations. But so first RIP is Lance Reddick. For those who don't know him, he's a black actor, and I don't have a biography set up, but he's the guy who played Cedric Daniels in The Wire. And that role alone, it's funny, yeah, that role alone, like he's done many other works, John Wick and all shit like that, but that role alone is enough for me to remember him when he passed away, after he passed away. It's enough for that work, that body of work, for me to be like, RIP, brother, and thanks for your contribution. Yeah, man, I remember when I was hit with the news, I think it was, when did he die? When did he pass away? You should write this shit down. March 17. On Friday, right. Yeah, I remember reading that news thinking, I remember waking up that day and thinking it's going to be a, you know, regular ass St. Patrick's Day. Even though I was going to go out, and then boom, hearing about this news. And sure what to say, man. If I should walk the street, and death takes me away, don't be surprised, son, I wasn't put here to stay. Anyway, yeah. R.I.P. Lance Reddick. Also, R.I.P. Bobby Caldwell. You know what? I'm gonna play a clip by Kevin on stage. I think he said the. I think his. Oh, come on, B. Thoughts. Kevin on stage. Y'all know content of Kevin on stage. Maybe you don't, but that's better. Yeah, but I like what he said about. Of course, it wouldn't be in my notes. Of course, it wouldn't be available. What did he say about Bobby Caldwell? Fuck that timer. He just said something dope about. Okay, my bad, man. Bear with me as I try to find the. His Patreon. No, where's his? Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm going to skip it. Yeah, no. Oh, there it is. Instagram. Yeah, he said something. I don't have to play Kev on stage, but I don't know. You know what? Yeah. All right. Yo, RIP Bobby Caldwell. If you know, you know. All right. Okay. What else? RIP, this was the killing of Breonna Taylor. She died on She was murdered on March 13, 2020. 2020. And I don't know, man. Yeah, 2020 was a fucked up year. And I remember using that year to just remember the names of black folks who were murdered, brutalized by police. And Breonna Taylor was one of them too. R.I.P. to her, and hope she gets justice. R.I.P. Professor X. He was born on August 4th, 1915, and died on March 17, 2006. Professor X was one of the founders, one of the members of the X Clan, the Mighty X Clan. Again, if you know, you know. Another RIP, March 18, 1990, for Robin Harris. Great, one of the greatest to do it. Oh, Robin Hugh Harris Sr. I didn't know he was. Okay. And he was a comedian, and you know him from Baby's Kids. That's one of his greatest body of work. Is one of his greatest jokes, Baby's Kids. It was so good they made it into a cartoon. Of course, he would be born in Chicago. Chi-Town's in the place. Chi-Town's in the building. And the last in the RIP is Nick Dogg, August 19, 1969. He was born on August 19, 1969, and passed away on March 15, 2021. And, Grace, one of the best to ever do it. Amazing singer, amazing contribution to the G-Funk era. And, yeah, sorry. I was just about to bring up that if you're a fan of misogynistic rap lyrics, then yeah, Nate Dogg is your boy, but that's not what he was known for. I guess I could say, one of the greatest pimps alive. I guess I could have said shit like that, but, misogynistic rap lyrics. And the funny thing is, I don't mean that it's disrespectful, but I don't mean that in a... Yeah, I didn't mean, I'm not honoring him, but that's what his life was. It's not like I'm calling him a rapist. I'm just saying, Nate Dogg, one of the greatest who ever did it. I'm just going to leave it at that, all right? All right, what else happened this week? A few birthdays that I need to bring up. First one is Queen Latifah, happy birthday. Her birthday was on March 18th. She was born in 1970, 53 years old, damn. My heroes are getting up there. Yeah, so March 18th for Queen Latifah. Oh, that was yesterday. Ooh, my bad. And last but not least is the rapper Common. He was born on March 13, 1972. I was considering making a dedication to Common. If not Common, then... Black American culture, but I'll save that for a future episode. Why Black American culture? Because he's got a track called Black America, and it's a rave. Shout out to Black American culture, and it would be a kind of rave that it wouldn't be dedicated to Black Americans who are like feeling self pity, who are self pity about the self pity and aren't helping Black folks move forward. It'd be, it'd be dedicated to the culture. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't know why I had to make it about one person. Again, lack of inspiration, so I'll blame that. All right, last but not least, so I said we got birthdays out the way. Now some albums that were released that should be recognized, honored for this week. Okay, March 15, 2015, Kendrick Lamar released his third studio album, To Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah, man. Kendrick is one of those rappers who make albums that people want to talk about or people want to bump again. People want to it's a project. It's a project that you don't listen once or you don't leave without thoughts. And To Pimp a Butterfly just reminded me that when Kendrick Lamar called himself a Machiavelli offspring, he meant that shit. Like he's continuing the legacy of, or he's honoring the legacy of Tupac. Speaking of Tupac, Me Against the World was released on March 14, 1995, and last episode, It Ain't Easy, That's My Motto, 061, It Ain't Easy, That's My Motto, was pretty much an ode to that whole album. An O? an homage to that whole album. Yeah. And last but not least, March 14, 1989, Kool G Rap released their debut album. Excuse me, Kool G Rap and DJ Polo released their debut album, Rose to the Riches. Now, growing up, I wasn't very familiar with that album. It's one of those albums that I listened to, like, not the whole album, but there was tracks that I, like, Kool G Rap is the album he did afterwards. That's the album that really I could speak of, Wanted Dead or Alive. But Roads to the Riches, yeah, I guess I was still familiarizing myself with rap. Oh, but I did know songs like Poison. I believe that was on the, what's that album called? The soundtrack of Colors. I Am a Nightmare Walking, Psychopath Talking. Yeah. Cold Cuts. Yeah, there's a lot of dope tracks on that album, Roads to Riches. Well, I'm going for the list. Through the track list, Roads to Riches, It's a Demo, Men at Work, Truly Yours, Cars, Trilogy of Terror, She Loves Me, She Loves Me Not, Cold Cuts, Rhyme Out Express. Okay, where's I'm Fly? That wasn't in there? A Butcher Shop. Okay, but whatever. Okay, anyways. Yeah, that's it. That's it for the intro. Just wanted to make a few acknowledgements and shout out before I start the show. And true black people fashion, man. We don't just honor your birthday. We remember. We don't just use your birthday to remember you. We also your death anniversary. It's like if you passed away, we use and like if you're a black person that we're black people, it's something we revere. If we honor you, then we remember your birthday and your passing. It's like we use these two occasions to remember you. Anyways, that's how we do, man. That's how black folks do. All right, and I like to celebrate albums, but here we go. All right, let's go to news and random thoughts. And, yeah, continue on with this episode. So I forgot to set up my I'm buying time, Isaiah. Okay, here we go. Okay, I'm going to stop this shit here. I'm going to play this, whatever. All right, okay. so I have an app to play. You know, you don't need to know all this. All right, let's just jump to news and random thoughts. Here we go. Bam, bam, bam. All right. First bit of news. I want to send a shout out to, let me pull this out. Hold on a second. If you remember a few weeks ago, I told you about how I went to, attended VirtuousCon, the online session, and I bought a shitload of comic book. And one of the comic books that I purchased finally arrived, and it's by the brothers, and it's titled Tuskegee Hers. Flames of Destiny, Volume 1. Shout out to the authors, Burnham and Williams. Hold on, is there information in there? Oh my God, this is beautiful. Story by Marcus Williams and Greg Burnham. Art by Marcus Williams, colors. My point is, it's black owned, man. Black comic book with black content in there. Oh my God, holy shit. This motherfucker's beautiful. But anyway, yeah, man. I'm just grateful that it finally came in the mail. I don't know what's going on with the other comic books. I'm getting a little nervous here. You know, don't want to accuse my people of stealing, but, you know, if I don't get my comic book soon, I'm going to have to call Farrakhan. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, man. So shout out to these brothers. I want to let them know that I got their comic book. Thank you for packing it up for me and look forward to reading it. Okay, what else? Jonathan Majors on masculinity. Here we go. This is some clip that I found. Small clip I found on Instagram, and I felt the need to share with you. Here we go.
Definition of masculinity.
Hold on. It's balanced, isn't it?
Rewind.
Masculinity.
Oh my God, I hate Instagram. I'm trying to play a clip, and
it's balanced, isn't it?
Okay. The question is, what's your definition of masculinity? And then Jonathan Major answers with the following.
Definition of masculinity.
It's balanced, isn't it? Mm-hmm. There's strength. Right? And there's vulnerability. There's awareness. And then there's acknowledgement of ignorance. A big part of it is kindness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Use of power.
Yeah.
Gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
These are masculine characteristics.
Yes.
It's quite unmasculine
mm-hmm.
to try to emasculate another man.
Absolutely.
I'm not coming for nobody, yeah. But kindness is a big part of it. It's an energy. You know what I mean?
What is your...
Beautiful. You know what's funny? It's my first thought when I heard this definition is the emotions that came on was more like, now this is Jonathan Majors. This is an actor that I admire, and I love when he plays a tough guy in a movie. Maybe that's the whole point, right? And so you think he would be in the one of he would be an authority in explaining what the definition of masculinity. But my first thought I remember is how you're not persuading. I was telling myself I still don't feel persuaded to let go of the definition, the archaic caveman bullshit, toxic, unachievable definition, image of what of masculinity that was programmed in me. I don't know what that's about, but I'm sure at some point I'll figure it out. But despite, like, for those who know me, I'm on a journey to knowing myself, to let go, unlearn what I've been told, what it is to be masculine. And despite everything I know, a part of me refuses to let go of that definition, of that old toxic that doesn't... I guess I was hoping to hear him speak and be like, right on, and adopt. but I guess that's the point. Maybe that is the point. And then, you know, it's like, yep, Jonathan Majors has spoken. And it's just what he said, positive shit. What he said, things that like kindness. It's like saying, if it came off to me like, you know, hey, not doing drugs is cool. It's like, hey, I don't know, man. All the cool kids are doing drugs. I don't know. I'm just saying, I agree with it. I'm not saying I don't disagree with him. What I'm reacting is how I'm just noticing in myself how, despite this brother saying this, something healthy, and I wouldn't like, it's kind of, I guess I'm admitting, I'm confessing, I'm saying that I have like an addiction, a toxic addiction to that old definition. I'm not saying I want it. I'm saying the journey into becoming a better man is not an easy one. That's what I'm trying. Especially when all of us have been programmed with a shitty definition of what it means to be masculine, with a definition that serves other people except yourself. Yeah, that's all I'm getting at, man. If you're on a journey to being a better man, it's exactly what I'm saying. It's a journey. It's not instantaneously. Don't believe anyone who tries to convince you that, you know, 100 steps to being a great man, you know. Like, don't trust any other man who trusts, like, trust your own self. That's really what I'm trying to say. Trust your own self. But I am grateful that Jonathan Majors is weighing in. It's trying to help brothers become better men. Here we go. Young brothers become better men. All right, here we go. Right. Second item. In defense of Meghan Markle. This is in response to a podcast that I like to listen to, the three guys on, and they were talking about on their episode called Elective Outrage, where they sharing their thoughts about Chris Rock's recent special. You know, for the most part, they liked it, but, you know, everyone had their criticism, and I am part of the people who did enjoy his, it's not his best work. I'm not dissing Chris Rock here and saying this. It's, you know, I'm just like, yo, this is your Nostradamus, bro. it was, you know, there was good jokes, but there was, I'm acting like Chris Rock is going to hear it, and he needs, like, all the support, you know, hey, man, since you've been, yeah, whatever, I need to calm the fuck down. I'm speaking honestly here. Anyways, in one of the jokes, he was talking about Meghan Markle, and there's a whole discussion could be said about that. Like, you know, a lot of people were disappointed that he attacked or felt that he attacked Meghan Markle. But in the end, homeboy was just making jokes. With that said, the one seriousness in that is that, like, if Chris Rock was a friend of mine and we were having a discussion, first I'd get his honest thoughts about Meghan Markle. And if he did say, and if he did believe that, yo, that bitch is crazy for marrying into the royal family and being oblivious of the fact that these motherfuckers are racist as fuck. Now, I don't know if that's true, but the one thing that I do connect with when it comes to Meghan Markle and her dealing with racism in the royal family and speaking up about it is, it reminds me of how, yo, this is, you know, slavery is still, we're still under the control of white folks. Sure, maybe, you know, it's difficult for them to, you know, drop the N-word without punishment these days. But when dealing with white people in power and position of power, as a black person, if you want to be considered a normal person, if you want to fit into the society, you have to give these fucking white people the benefit of the doubt that they're not rich. You have to treat them, talk to them. You have to accept. You have to deal with them. Basically, you have to wait for them to do something racist before you're allowed to call them racist. Even if it's the royal fucking family who has the OG, who are the OG of racism. So I guess what I'm saying is, I'm not surprised Meghan Markle, for me it's normal. She fell in love with this dude. And knows their past, but, you know, said, fuck it. They talked it out. They said, you know what? Let's make this marriage thing work. And then she had to wait for them. She had to wait for the inevitable racism to show up for that to finally be able to say, hey, Oprah, yeah, man, these fucking royal families, I know they advertise themselves as not being racist, but they are as racist. Like, we had to wait. I don't see her speaking out about racism in the royal family that she's been subjected to as complaining. I see her as, yeah, I'm going to confirm everything all you people already knew about these fucking white people, man. Sorry, my blood pressure just went up. I hate being in these kind of positions where you have to wait. It's like, you know, you know this person's a terrorist, but you got to wait for that motherfucker to open up his jacket and see the bombs on them for them to do damage before you could do something about it. It's the unfortunate of living in a white society and dealing with white people in position of power. You know, you gotta wait for them to do it before you could act on it. You know, I don't know. It'd be beautiful to be in a position where I said, oh, wow, oh my God. Yeah. He used to be a grand dragon of the Ku Klux Klan, yeah, I won't be doing business with you. Nah, you gotta believe that, oh, I've turned a new leaf. Now, I guess I'm thinking of Justin Trudeau and his blackface. You know, I'm probably one of those black people who will never forgive him for it, but I trust when he presents himself as a person better than that kid in those pictures in blackface. Like, if he does blackface again, okay, yeah, shame on me. Fool me once. But I believe he's like, no, he's grown from that moment. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. But royal family, nah, man. They're denying, no, we're not. Yeah, man, fuck. Their inability to confront racism makes them the racist, dirty crackers that I believe they are. Cracklings that I believe they are, but yeah. All right, okay. So that's my defense for Meghan Markle. I don't think she was complaining. I think she, poor woman, had to subject herself to that situation. It's kind of like my friends, black friends who decide to have, you know, white friends. Yeah, that's some of the shit you're going to have to put up with. You're going to have to tolerate with. You're going to have to, crossing path for racism. If you put yourself in an environment with white people, I'm not blaming the victim. I'm saying, it's one of those things you just gotta fucking accept about the world that we live in. There we go. All right. Speaking of racism, there's an article in CBC that was released this week, and it was about. I'm waiting for it to load. And the title goes, Ottawa says Human Rights Commission discriminated against its black employees. Now, when I remember first reading that title and thinking that, I was so confused because I thought they were saying the Human Rights Commission accuses Ottawa of discriminating against black people. And then I'm like, oh no, the Human Rights Commission is fucked up. Yeah, man, that's the messed up article. Anyways, I remember reading the whole article and going for work and being in a situation where I really, really, really wanted to talk to someone about this shit. But, you know, I don't know, man. I don't like talking about race. Like, none of my coworkers have showed me as someone that, yes, you will have an enlightened, a productive conversation about race if you bring it up to me. Yeah, man. I'm like, yeah, that's. Yeah, I remember reading the article, just wanted to talk about it, having no one to bring it up with. So I ended up sending it to all my black friends. And one of my friends said that they got a job at, they interviewed for a job at for the Human Rights Commission. And I won't be surprised if if he shows up to the interview and they're like, you're hired. By the way, first assignments, go talk to these motherfuckers, to these woke crackers, to these woke white folks at this press conference. or you just hire them to stand in the background and say, oh, no, we don't have any problems with racism. Ain't that right, Blackie? But yeah, man, that's the city I live in, man. That's the city, the complication of racism. And it is fucking frustrating, man. Like, you want to talk about it. You want to bring it up. But either you can't or, you know, it's, fuck. If you want to entertain yourself, if you want to bore yourself, if you want to get into a fucking pointless conversation about race with a white person, Ottawa's the town to do it, man. I don't know if you can tell, but there's like a little, like, there's like anger when I said that. It's a frustration. I'm venting. I was venting when I said that. All right. Next item I have on. All right. Okay. Okay. sorry. I'm laughing. I bring myself the giggles. I love when I make my own self laugh. Okay. So on the last episode, I probably talked to you. I did. I presented a clip. Matter of fact, let me prove it myself. Shut up, podcast. This is me loading up my own website. By the way, I really need to work. Okay, I need to add this on my board. Yes, on the episode 061, it ain't easy. That's my motto. One of the items I covered was, what does it mean to be woke? Yes. Yeah, okay. So some white chick, her name is Bethany something something, went on some TV show to promote her book. And you know what? Let me try to get the full title. No, I'm not. Okay. So went on some TV show to woke. Mm-hmm. Pause. Okay. Went on some TV show to explain. Here we go. Oh, fuck. Sorry, I should notice my, oh, fuck me. The response to, okay, there we go. Sorry. Sorry, I thought I made a mistake. When I make mistakes, I have this bad habit of beating myself up for it.
Okay, here we go. Americans consider them.
Okay, here we go. Okay, her name is Bethany Mandel, right? Conservative columnist Bethany Mandel. Brain meltdown when she asked to define woke, right? Okay, so this story I'm talking about right here.
Americans consider themselves very liberal. And probably fewer of them consider themselves to be woke. And so, you know, when we talk about traditional...
What does that mean to you? Would you mind defining woke? Because it's come up a couple times, and I just want to make sure we're on the same page.
So, I mean, woke is sort of the idea that... This is going to be one of those moments that goes viral. I mean...
Long story short, she couldn't explain it, all right? Because, yo, people who use woke incorrectly... don't know what they're fucking saying, but it's code for black people and nigger lovers, right? And black people and white people who are like, who lecture other white people about, you know, hey, we kind of need to do something about race. Let me tell you something, okay? If you're white and you're a real ally to, I hate using that word, but yeah, but if you're a real ally to the cause of you know, wanting to see black people elevated in their society, get out of the fucking pit, the ditch that, you know, see, black people rise as a people. Yeah, you're not going to make friends, right? You, other white people are going to hate you. It's going to be a long, other white people are going to hate you, and a lot of black people may never hear about you. Shout out to John Brown. Anyways, so yeah, woke is pretty much a word against, it's code for niggers and nigger lovers. And of course she's like, she can't explain it. She dies in the explanation. But okay. So in the last episode, I played a clip of, What's her name again? Make sure I do this. I'm going off top. Danielle Moody explaining what woke means. But now, since now I'm going to play another definition, another better explanation of what it means to be woke. Yeah, okay, sorry. You know what? I'm focused too much on the negative. This is me focusing on the positive, okay? So, W. Kamau Bell has a conversation with Michael Harriet about the concept of woke. And this is beautiful. 2 minutes, 17 seconds of your time is the best 2 minutes investment of your time that you can make at the moment, all right? I'm going to play it. Here we go. Hold on. The caption goes, in case Bethany Hondark, her Twitter name, or anybody else actually wants to know what woke really means versus what it has been turned into. And here's the clip. Here we go.
There's the word woke, and then there is the concept of woke. So that concept has been around for years. The interesting thing about it is the first time we heard the word woke in history was in the 1920s with a blues player named Huddy Leadbelly Ledbetter. He heard about this case of some black boys in Alabama who had been falsely accused of raping a white woman. And they were imprisoned, and he wrote a song about it called The Scottsboro Boys. Now, after he finishes playing the song, he waits for a second, and then he tells everyone, you know, if you're black and if you're going through Alabama, keep your eyes open. Y'all gotta stay woke.
From those roots, woke established itself as a watchword, a creative way for one black person to say to another, hey, be smart, stay aware, America's dangerous. You know, keep your top eye open, keep your head on a swivel, let me pull your coat. For decades, woke sort of stayed on the bench of black vernacular, poking its head out here and there. And then came 2014. The killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri by a police officer heralded the rise of the hashtag Stay Woke on black Twitter. But even though black Twitter is run by black folks, it's on regular Twitter where everybody else can see it. And woke eventually became the battle hymn of latte liberals. All of a sudden, everything and everybody was woke. Yep, woke at Namaste'd. Woke in the dog park, woke at Pilates, woke at the farmer's market. Woke took on a new form. It was just a battle cry for general self-righteousness and performative social justice campaigns. So many black folks stopped using it seriously then. We just use it for fun now.
Wokeness is divisive, exclusionary, and hateful.
But even though we tried to bury it, they found the body. And Frankenwoke was born. A mutant propaganda-riddled abomination of the original meaning that is the very thing that Leadbelly was warning us about in the first place. Now woke is a catch-all pejorative for everything and anything that America sees as a threat. It's the war on Christmas year-round.
Yo, shout out to smart people, man. Who can explain shit. Yeah, man. Yo, these brothers said it perfectly, man. I can't add to it. It's, I never used the word woke. We used to use the word conscious. I remember that word, conscious. You know, stay conscious, man. You got to be conscious about the revolution. And then, yeah, conscious people used to be we used to be considered pain in the ass. Now they're called hoteps. Hoteps. But, yeah, man, no, I guess it's, yeah, I think woke is a replacement for the term social justice warriors. I'm not sure what social justice warrior. But seriously, man, fuck. You can't be a fucking friend of mine and be confused by the term woke or allow the Pierre Poilievre of the world to convince you that being woke is a bad thing. Because white folks are crazy, man, because they keep talking about the Great Awakening, the day where all white people will figure out the shing and be like, hey, these niggas are trying to get one over us. And the Great Awakening, where all white people will think the same way. And in the word awakening is the word, you know, awake. Wait, how do you conjugate the word? Woke is the word. Hold on, let me see what I get. Sorry, I forgot what the l'infini du mot woke. L'infini? The verb woke. Verb woke. It's wake, woke. To wake up? Or is it, wake, to wake. I don't know how you say indifidi in French, in English. Like, what's the well, you know what, doesn't matter. Verb, waked, woke, waked, woken, waken. Wake, okay, to wake. Fuck, English is a bizarre language. But here we go. Yeah, anyways, I can't say any, can't make it any better. All right, let me see my timer. How are we doing? Not bad, B, not bad. Okay, I was worried I was going to go over time with this news and random thoughts. But, okay, I'm going to end the news and random thoughts segment with this clip. I call it the clip of the week. And I tweeted about it. I say, yo, man, this white dude, this, I want to hug this white dude for his innocence, for not knowing any better. But it's just, for me, I find this to be a cute clip. And instead of speaking about it, I'm just going to play it. Here we go. Boom. You probably heard about it, but here we go. Oh, sorry.
Casual use of the hard R.
Oh, really?
It's jarring. Yeah, it's jarring now. And for
casual use of hard R.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, it was an episode of American Dad. And it was just
really?
Like, yeah, it wasn't for shock value. It was just like used.
Whoa.
Right? Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? That was in 2003 or something, like 2002.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm not gonna deny that I dropped my fair share of hard R's back then, because the term hard R didn't even exist. We didn't think about it.
Sorry.
Right? And it's funny because to me, that doesn't feel like that long ago, but to my kids.
Are you talking like N-word hard R?
What? No.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's how people use that term.
No.
I think
that's the N-word. What are you guys talking about? Am I mistaken?
I think so.
Sorry.
No, the one with the with, like, for like mental disability.
I'm pretty sure people use hard R in a very different way than you just used it.
Oh. Okay. Either
hard
way.
R means ending.
I understand.
Probably just to give some context, because you guys can't see the clip. It says, Linus tech tips, not knowing what the hard R means, and admitting he used it out of context. Has me so weak, bro. Almost lost his entire career overnight. Oh my God. Yeah, man. For those, okay, I like to include everyone in this conversation. All right, okay. For those who don't know, if you hear a black person say, yo, he used the N-word with a hard R, that's their way of saying he meant N-I-G-G-E-R. Right? There's N-I-G-G-A. like, that's to come. Like, even I joke about when I have this joke when it's not a joke, but it's a thing I do with my fellow black folks, right? If you do something that bothers me, like talk about like, hey, I gotta flake on you, I gotta cancel on you, or I'm gonna be late for whatever, right? I'll drop the N-word with the hard R on you. I'm like, yeah, that's see, it's my way of saying, like, you know, these white folks are right. You ain't shit. Anyway, yeah. Anyways, it's just so funny how this white dude, we're all thinking, he said, yeah, man, I dropped the hard R N-word. when he actually meant it for mental disability, the pejorative for mental disability. Oh, man, oh my God, it's just... I love the moment where first it's the other, his homie is like, dude, where are you going with this car? You trying to get us canceled? What the fuck are you doing? And it's just that moment when he realizes, where he stops and goes, do you mean the N-word? It's just beautiful. No, whoa, the N-word. What the fuck? I don't even. Anyway, that shit made me laugh, man. It was just beautiful. And shout out to the people who agree with me in the comment section. the tension of that. Anyways, okay, all right. Where was I? Sorry, I'm trying to read the comment.
Casual use of the hard R.
Oh, really?
It's jar.
Sorry, okay, let's stop it. Okay, all right. Hey, not bad, man. 30 seconds to go. All right, let's... Let's jump to the final section of this podcast. Final thoughts, and get the fuck out of here, all right? Let's do this. Here we go. All right. Okay. Finding fun things to do. Yo, it's funny. As I was having a No, this ain't our red. Yeah, no, I was talking to a coworker. Usually when I say coworker, it's another code for a white person. But the white person that I interact with, right? And it's not the fact that he's a coworker, but it was just, we're just having a casual conversation about, because he was a casual conversation about, what do you do for fun? Pretty much, right? And for me, it was a bigger deal because he was older than me. And I realized I haven't been talking to a lot of men my age. I don't do that a lot, right? And it's just, yeah, life is a little different. Shit is a little different. Like, I find that I'm having, it's been a journey for me to adapting to this life, single man, old, I'm not a teenager anymore, older, grown up, and no kids. Like most people my age, you know, advance in their careers, bitch about their kids, church, or whatever. But I'm none of these things, right? And I find that I'm trying to find things to do. Anyway, so I was having just a general conversation with this dude, with homeboy, about what he likes to do for fun. And he keeps himself busy. Like he's distracted and everything like that. And I'm listening to him trying to say, okay, maybe I could try this. Maybe I should try that. Maybe I should. And it hit me. Him and I, like, good dude. He's a good dude and all that, right? But it just made me realize that we work together. He's a good dude, but we have nothing in common. I mean, we speak the same language, but in terms of what we both consider fun, we have nothing in common. And I don't point this out to say that he's a bad person, but it's more how I have this bad habit of trying to get advice or try to figure things out about my own self from people that I have nothing in common with. Like, it's a habit of mine. I tend to try to connect with people I was never meant to connect with. That's what I'm trying to say. Again, not a bad person, and I'm not trying to say he's a bad person, but it's a common of people who show up to work and assume that, well, because we work together, that we should be friends. And that's not true. It's not true. Okay, because I'm realizing the shit that he considered fun, for me to figure out what I consider fun, I need to do like some meditation, my own dream. It hit me. This thought came to me when I realized how much I enjoy lyrics, reciting lyrics, reading lyrics, and especially deep lyrics, which brings me to my next topic, because that's how I landed on it, right? It's the next item on my agenda. It's, again, this is an account that I follow on Twitter, and it's a moral philosophy, and every once in a while, this person likes that account likes to ask questions that gets me thinking, and sometimes I like to share it. See, exactly, things I like to do. Share it on the podcast. I've made the mistake of bringing up things I like to do with people I have nothing in common with, and of course, because they don't feel it's the same thing, they'll shut it down. It's like, that's stupid. And then in my mind, I got into the habit of believing that, well, because they don't approve, I shouldn't approve, then scratch it. Like, I'm good at adapting to other people's lifestyles, what they consider, well, that's the truth. Anyways, again, journey into self. I'm on a journey into discovering my real self. And again, it's a fucking journey with a lot of obstacles. A lot of them are self-imposed obstacles, but that's where I'm at. Anyway, here I am. The question was asked, what do you think is worse, to cheat or be cheated on? Man, I could write a book on this topic. Maybe I should. But hold on. Someone replied with someone. Cheating is a personal decision. Some people will never cheat no matter how hard things are. Others will always cheat no matter how good they have it. Anyway, the reason let me make the connection between the previous what I was trying to say is the first thought that came to mind was the song I Don't Ever Want to See You Again by Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam, I don't ever want... Oh, my God. Here we go. Here, I'll play it. It goes, just to give you an idea. Ooh. Oh, this is the video. 15 seconds. Okay, let me get to the lyrics, okay? And he goes, it's a dope ass song, but okay, let me make my point before I go into the lyrics. Is my first thought was that song, and there's a part of the song where Uncle Sam says, towards the end of the line, okay, the song's about how he's with a woman, he's dealing with feelings of betrayal. Basically, his girlfriend, significant other, his partner cheated. He finds out that she cheated on him, and the whole song is about his hurt feelings and how, you know, basically, I don't ever want to see you again. And my favorite part of the song where he says that my conscience is clear, I can move on from this shit, but I can't say the same for you. So to answer the question, in my world, what's worse is cheating. Cheating is worse than being cheated on. Now, if you're someone who's been cheated on several times, I can understand if you end up saying, fuck that, man. I'd rather be the cheater next time. Yeah, I know what it's like. Yeah, not what it's like, but I can relate to being, fuck it, man. I'm tired of being the victim. I'm going to be the bad guy. In this, in a previous episode, I talked about how I fantasize, yeah, Biggie episode, how I fantasize about being, I don't know, I realized where that came from, how I fantasize about being a bad person. And it's because, I guess, I'm just got tired of always being the victim of bad people, or feeling like the victim of bad people. Like, I want to be the one who starts hurting. I want to be the one who sends other motherfuckers into therapy. Yeah, anyway. Yeah, so, this is a long journey just to say that I just realized that out of the long list of things, well, okay, I'm going to say short list because I'm still learning about myself, but I love analyzing lyrics. I love when a poet, an artist pours themselves out on a song, and I can read it and I can feel that shit and talk about it. And then get to questions like this: what's worse, to cheat or be cheated on? And answer and think about, oh my god, did I really not like this? Going through these long ass reflections, I guess it's part of being a hypersensitive human being. You feel things. Yeah, I love going through and feeling shit. That's what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, growing up, I was surrounded by a lot of kids who like doing shit like going camping, and I didn't like camping. Maybe I'd like it now. Maybe I should try it again. But now, it's just not on my list of things that I enjoy doing. But yeah, long journey. I went from a conversation with a coworker to a Twitter question to a song by Uncle Sam. And all this to say that I do have interests. I just have difficulty admitting it to myself. There we go. That was the final thought for this segment. All right. The last one. What time is it? 50. Okay. I got 8 minutes left. Sorry. 52 minutes according to 20 seconds. Okay. This is something that came on. It's a quote, a Mark Twain quote. Well, you know what? Oh, holy shit. Okay, I'm going to get my AI to read this, right? And it goes, it ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. And now initially, I got this from watching the movie Big Short, and they credit that quote to Mark Twain. According to this article, it says, dear quote investigator, the Oscar-winning 2015 film, oh, Big Short, begins with the display of the following statement. It ain't what you know, gets you in trouble. Okay, the brilliant humorist Mark Twain receives credit, but I have been unable to find a solid citation. This quip is very popular. Would you please investigate? And then, and this is what they say, quote investigator. And this is what they say. You know what, doesn't matter, okay. I'll leave. I don't know who to give credit to this quote. Apparently, there's three people: Josh Billing, Mark Twain, and Artemis Ward. Whatever. But what I'm thinking about is, I was high when I read that quote, and it had me thinking about, see, pointing out that I was high just by way of that I, you know, I overthought it. I did a lot of, there was a lot of thoughts that went into after, that were in response to hearing that quote. And it had me thinking about how do you stop yourself from being in a situation where it's what you know for sure that just ain't so. How do you not fall for the trap of believing that you know something for sure, only to later realize that just ain't so? Now, and which is why, I don't know, I guess I've developed, I like to believe that I have a healthy dose of skepticism. It helps to be skeptic. I'm sitting on a chair and believing that maybe I'm not sitting on a chair. Maybe the chair is sitting on me. I don't know. I'm saying I don't like the trap of knowing something that just ain't so. Believing in something that just ain't so. So it's okay to doubt yourself. But what's interesting is I have been a skeptic person. I am a skeptic. If you know me, you know, I'm always insecure. By insecure, I mean I doubt everything. I don't think everything is real. But I'm realizing, and this is probably where my therapist would jump into this conversation. Well, she wouldn't because of confidentiality. But I'm just thinking of conversations that we've been having is how I haven't been using those doubts, that skepticism, that, you know, questioning my reality when it comes to shit like, hey, B, maybe you're not as bad as you think you are. That's the one of those things that I haven't been able to, that caveman definition of masculinity. That's one of those things I haven't been able to let go. I have like this unexplainable, irrational hatred towards my own self. Now, sure, we could go into parenting and all that shit, but you know, that's then, but this is now. And those feelings, it's as real to me as, those feelings are as real to me as those 9/11 hijackers who got on that plane and did what they did. I don't know what was like the core of their belief, but I know on the surface is they believe they were on the right side of humanity. They were on the right side of history. They believe they were doing, they got on that plane and they believed they were doing the right thing by crashing that motherfucking plane, by taking their own lives and the passengers and shrinking. They believed they were doing the right thing by following the orders of Osama bin Laden. Who knows? Maybe when they were like, you know, an inch away from the building, they were saying, you know what? What if there ain't 72 virgins? What if those 72 chicks are not virgins and I get into heaven and these bitches are going to reject me? You know, who knows? Maybe doubt finally hit them at the or amongst other things, at the last minute. But my point is they were a victim of, I mean, 9/11s, of believing in something, knowing something that just wasn't so. I mean, yeah, no, they wanted to, and I guess is Osama had their best interest. I don't know, you know, okay, I'm making this shit is getting a little too complicated. I'm trying to understand the point I'm trying to make here. I'm struggling with the point that I'm trying to make. I'm just confessing, admitting that on the long list of things, that I believe I know, but need to question. One of them is my self-concept. I say this not so you can lecture me with ways to deal with that. It's more, I'm not alone with that shit. What I'm saying is not meant for you. It's meant for the other person who understands what I'm saying, who's like, yeah, you know what? I'm skeptic about all kinds of things, but the one thing The one idea I refuse to challenge is anything that has to do with loving my own self. That's really what I'm trying to get at. That's really what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. That's funny. I say all this and I just, you know, okay. That might be the title. What you know for sure, that just ain't so. Yeah, I think I'm going to leave it at that. Shit you know for sure, that just ain't so. And it's just my way of, like, okay, I'm thinking about how I grew up in a church. Shit, this should be a church ratchet this moment. But yeah, I grew up in a church and we were all, and the pastors, Sunday school teacher, my parents. See, this is what happens when, you know, my parents, like, you know, you can't tell them shit about Jesus, especially white Jesus. It's one of those things you just don't question. And I grew up, you know, seeing the problems. I'm like, wait a minute. That portrait of white Jesus that we have in our kitchen is inaccurate. What? It was painted so black people would have a, so black people would have an image. It was painted to reinforce the idea of white people being superior and us being inferior. Like, that's, I remember when, that was one of those moments that had me questioning what I was being told about the concept of God or who is God. Yeah, it's funny, man. Is I've reached a point where I question shit like love, law, what it means to be right or wrong, society, what it means to be black, what it means to be white. I question all that shit. But the one thing, my ultimate challenge, the one challenge that I found is, when it comes to concept like self-love, trusting yourself, believing in yourself, that's the one thing I can't get myself to snap out of. It's like, no, I'm convinced that I am unworthy of, like, concepts that you don't deserve to call yourself a real man. Shit like that. That, like, these insecurities. That's my journey. That's my struggle. I don't know. This is one of those things, like, I guess I could have put, I should put down on paper. I will at some point. Who knows? One day. But maybe that's the one thing that, again, Three Guys Odd, one of the episodes I was listening to, I can't forget, it might have been the Elective Outrage, and they were just talking about how Randolph was saying, like, there's no such thing as writer's block. I don't know, something like that, but basically just write. Even it's pretty much, this is what I did with this episode. I didn't know where I wanted it to go, but here I am right now talking about a quote by Mark Twain and what it means to me and how it affects my own life. One more time, I'm going to repeat it. It ain't what you do, it ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. That's not what gets you in trouble. Not ignorance, because yes, I have told myself I can't do this because I don't know. No, that's not what gets you in trouble. It's not jumping in the car and not knowing where the destination or how to get to your destination that gets you in trouble. It's believing in shit that when I get to the strip club, I'll find joy. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. What you know for sure that just ain't sure. What you've convinced yourself doesn't deserve to be and doesn't need to be investigated, doesn't need to be questioned. All those things. And that's not true. Believing in the lie. There we go. Believing in the lie, that's what gets you in trouble. There we go. There we go. All right. Okay. You know what? In a way, I kind of feel better. I feel a lot better after I eat. I feel a lot better, man. I kind of feel way better than I felt an hour and 3 minutes ago. With that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Holler at me at Twitter at bblizak or at Shut Up Podcast. The website is shutuppodcast.com. Show notes, all that shit is on there. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Do people still use email addresses? Yeah, anyways, I just told you about my DMs. You can, you know, use my DMs on Twitter or regular ass email. If you send me an email, I know you're old. All right. All right, to subscribe to this podcast, use the RSS feed. So aside from the show notes, you can also find the RSS feed for this podcast. Use that shit to subscribe to the podcast or go on Google or Apple Podcast. Yo, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.